11. Now we'll backtrack to number 10, Kyle.
There you go. Sorry. All right. Is that sharing?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Yep. Item number 10 is related to waterfowl equipment and restrictions. This encompasses three WACs, 220-414-040, non-toxic shot, 220-414-050, shotgun shell restriction areas, 220-414-090, use of decoys and calls. The first one is related to the non-toxic requirements. It's important to point out that we've hit a pretty important milestone in waterfowl hunting, where we have been 30 years lead free. That non-toxic has been the requirement for all waterfowl hunters nationwide for 30 years. That's not something that the waterfowl realm takes lightly. And so this one is our ability to say where. This is about boundaries, this particular proposal. There are two adjustments in terms of the wildlife area and unit naming conventions under the Section 2 wording of this WAC. Specifically, what this Section 2 says is it is unlawful to possess shot, either in shot shells or as loose shot from muzzle loading, other than non-toxic shot in the following areas. There have been changes in the wildlife area unit relationships, and so this is trying to catch up on that. But this also reflects current management discussions related to recent wildlife area planning exercises, where units with significant wetland complexes within their boundaries were identified for inclusion in that statement. One example of that is the figure on your right there, the South Puget Sound, what is considered the Union River unit, which also the red. This is something that is not explicitly called out in this non-toxic, but this is an example where obviously that's a lot of wetlands and a lot of mudflats, and it's a lot of waterfowl hunting. So this proposal aims to update that list and those naming conventions. 1,431 comments were received, 57 in agreement, 11% disagreed, 33% were neutral. Common themes in 22 written comments, with both a mixture of support and opposition to the restrictions on the use of lead shot for waterfowl hunting, and this general misunderstanding that lead shot has been prohibited for waterfowl, coot, and snipe hunting, consistent with federal law for 30 years here in Washington. The next one is the shotgun shell restriction areas. This is WAC 224-14050. There are several specifics that are stated under this, where it is unlawful to have in possession more than 15 shotgun shells, or to fire, shoot more than 15 shells in one day on the following areas. And then there are specific areas stated. Two of these are technical adjustments. As we have been trying to put maps out to users, it was identified that there was a discrepancy between the intent, something like what was shown in the left-hand side of the screen, and when you actually wrote out the WAC and tried to map it out the way that the WAC has it stated because of GPS locations, there was a discrepancy. So this is just trying to actually formalize what was intended. That is true for the Johnson DeBay's slough hunt area and the Dungeness unit to align the intent in that legal description. And then there are two proposed additions on the Skagit Wildlife Area, which really the Samish River unit is just to differentiate from the Samish unit, which was in there. But in the naming conventions in our lands, Samish River unit was called out explicitly and so kind of fell off. This is to put that in there specifically. And then the South Padilla Bay unit of the Skagit Wildlife Area, which in both cases is the current management of those two units. This is nothing new. The public comment, there was 1,388 comments, 42% agreed, 10% disagreed, 47 neutral. Common themes in 15 written comments was a misunderstanding that this isn't a change, but just reflects current management and technical adjustments to try to clean up so that we can provide better maps, which was one of the other requests of public comment. That was what triggered this evaluation of this WAC. Finally, the last one is the use of decoys and calls. This one is explicit in calling out that federal law prohibits the use of electronic decoys or electronic calls across the board for all waterfowl, except during a white goose only season segment. White geese is this all-encompassing phrase for snow, Rosses, and blue phase geese. This proposal is intended to align state regulation with the federal exception that has existed since 2008. Again, this is in trying to provide this final harvest management tool to explicitly increase harvest on a snow goose population that has now far exceeded the population objective outlined in the Pacific Flyway Management Plan, to the point where the fall forecast fly off from Wrangell Island is now at 1 million birds. We're not talking anywhere near 120,000. We're talking about 1 million birds. What I wanted to call out in relation to a couple of the questions that were brought up was how this aligns to concepts that are brought up about goose management in other parts of North America, specifically what's referenced to as the mid-continent. The Central and Mississippi flyways are receiving snow geese from the vast Arctic regions of Canada, where you're talking about something like 10 to 15 million plus snow geese. In this case, while 1 million sounds like a lot, Washington sits uniquely at the cross section of Wrangell Island snow geese migration. And so we are not on terms of just sheer numbers near that, but more importantly is that the Pacific Flyway was not allowed to be incorporated into things that people reference as the spring hunts or conservation orders that people think of in the mid-continent. The Pacific Flyway is explicitly not included in that, and as such must abide by the 107 days that are outlined by federal law and those federal frameworks. We have not added days, we have shifted days. And so this has had an effect of season structure later into the season. In Goose Management Area 1, this has been a February 12th to the 22nd is what would happen this upcoming season. In Goose Management Area 4, it's a 19-day season. But again, we are maxed out on the 107 days. And the only option outside of 107 days where the use is a non-consumptive use, and we are starting to see that on the landscape, is that the alternative is a non-consumptive alternative. That is not our priority in the Pacific Flyway management plans. That is also not priority in what is outlined in our game management plan. This strives to use harvest as the tool to try to hit these objectives of a population that is well above its population objective. As I showed in those other slides, adjustments to Goose Management Area 1 boundary, the statewide limit to 10, and during this season, this white goose season only, the lift to 20 with something like electronic calls, the only exception in federal law, would increase the potential of efficiency to reach that 20 daily bag limit on white goose. The proposals, this in public comment, received 1,371 comments, 61% agreed, 9% disagreed, 30% were neutral. Common themes in 40 written comments was this difference between federal law and state regulation, a misunderstanding that this proposal can only occur during a white goose only season segment. There is no exception to that. Confusion for management strategy differences between this population of snow geese and those in the Central and Mississippi Flyway. Requests to allow use of electronic calls for all waterfowl hunting, again, prohibited by federal law, except in this one circumstance. And there were requests to allow use of electronic decoys for all waterfowl hunting, which was not proposed for change based off of information received during the three-year season scoping earlier or during the summertime. And that's what I've got.
Okay. I have a request here from staff. After this one is ended, we do have one person public comment. We're going to go to item 16 and then back to 12. So for purposes of staff's participation tomorrow. So If there's no questions at this point, let's go to the public comment, please, Nikki.
All right, we'll now take public comment from registered attendees. As a reminder, everyone receives 2 minutes for comment. Since we know it is Martha, let's get you unmuted, Martha. Go ahead.
Yes, I would just oppose this only because if it has to be an extended season, which means we have a longer hunting season in this places like the Skagit Flats, which is great bird watching, I think the impact on other users is too great. So I would say that there needs to be another way to resolve the goose problem rather than just hunting longer in the Skagit Valley, which impacts other users and the other birds that are there. They're certainly impacted by snow goose hunting, including the trumpeter swans that many of us watch. That's all.
Thank you, Martha. Have a good evening. Okay.
I'm bringing 16 up, Larry.
Yeah, make sure to unmute yourself, Larry.
Yes. Thank you, Kyle. I was muted talking to myself.
I think this is it.
And Larry, we have two people for comment for 16.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, is that showing up?
Yes.
Yes, it's good.
Okay, great. Okay, item 16 is also with me, Kyle Spragans, your waterfowl section manager. This is related to game reserves, waterfowl closures, and regulated access areas. There are four WACs covered underneath this, and I will go through those as in the next slides. The first two are related to what are called game reserves. Game reserves are closures under RCW definition that prohibit any hunting or trapping within the boundaries that are established. This then is bolstered by actual WAC descriptions of the boundaries. And in the case of, again, sort of evaluating the trying to get better maps into the hands of users, it was stumbled across that both the Lake Terrell Game Reserve up in Whatcom County and the Stratford Game Reserve in Eastern Washington, there were the need for technical adjustments under the description to align that intent with the legal description. The maps that are shown were the intent, but as we were remapping it, there were some minor glitches that would not have shown up the way that as intended. These are just technical adjustments. This is nothing about no adjustment that would change the way that users have understand these game reserve closures on the landscape. For the Lake Terrell Game Reserve, 1,251 comments, 47 agreed, 4 disagreed, 49% neutral. For the Stratford Game Reserve, 1,242 comments, 46 agreed, 5% disagreed, 49% neutral. And common themes and 9 written comments were basically concerns over perceived change. And again, this wasn't change, it's just technical adjustments to get to those better maps that people were asking for in their comments. Next, what we have is the Columbia Snake and Yakima River Waterfowl Coot and Snipe Closures. These waterfowl closures are largely associated with stretches of river on those three rivers. They were put in place for various reasons and have been in place in certain circumstances for decades. In evaluating sort of the current management and sort of evaluating the what the wildlife areas that surround these areas are able to accomplish, proposals were risen, and the two that are being proposed here specifically is one, a technical adjustment to what is section 4 along the Columbia River to remove reference to the wooden tower, which has been removed from the landscape. It was a point of reference and it's no longer out there. So that's just a clerical cleanup. And then the other proposal is to eliminate section 7 on the Yakima River. This is the map that is shown in front of you. This would now allow waterfowl coot, snipe, and hunt and snipe hunting along this within this designated boundary during the approved season dates. That this is the last closure, the last waterfowl closure along the river on the Yakima River. So the recommended adjustment that's included was to change the title so that it actually reflects that this is now only the Columbia and Snake River waterfowl and coot and snipe closures. In the map to the west and to the east of this closure, there are game reserves, those complete closures that I was mentioning before. This is not anticipated to, the only anticipated effect is if there are birds in this stretch, they would go to those game reserves, which are very nearby. And so this is a cleanup reflecting current management on that area. This proposal received 1,244 comments, 51% agreed, 5% disagreed, 44% were neutral. Common themes and 8 written comments were, again, the need for better maps and a reference to sections that were not proposed for changes for various reasons. Finally, this one is related to what is being referenced to as regulated access area restrictions for waterfowl, coot, and snipe hunting. Public lands in Washington facilitate the majority of waterfowl hunter days afield, and balancing hunting opportunities with resource requirements and habitat management have direct implications to the waterfowl hunting experience on these public lands. Things like changes to the local waterfowl production, the proximity of feeding to resting, the quality of wetland habitat management, and the amount of disturbance pressure can all influence what a waterfowl hunter experiences in various areas of the state. This was posed as a waterfowl hunter opinion question during that survey scoping period in the summer. The results of that were that what we asked was, what should the department prioritize in crafting waterfowl hunting opportunity on public lands? And there were alternatives that included no change whatsoever, prioritizing waterfowl population status and wetland and habitat enhancement, prioritizing waterfowl hunters' access, work with local stakeholders to identify limited access opportunities appropriate for improving a particular public land site by reducing pressure and competition, or some combination of above. The combination option received the overwhelming weight of 46%, but there was only 18% that suggested that there was a need for no change. And so this triggered a second round of evaluating what boundaries existed out there that actually allow us to fit somewhere in between these examples of what I just showed of full closure or complete chaos, sort of the all or nothing gradient that we wind up finding some of our lands and the way that we allow some of our users to interact with those lands. So what are regulated access areas? Well, this is a consistent terminology with Department Lands WAC 220-500-040. It's also consistent with Objective 104, which is in the waterfowl section of our game management plan, which states modify regulations to reduce crowding and increase hunt quality on wildlife areas, including shell limits, regulated access, reserved hunts, established blind sites, limited open days, without reducing total use days. This is consistent with what the Waterfowl Hunter Opinion Survey that supported a combination of prioritizing resource access and site considerations. And out of examples that we found out there, there is only one of these 10 current waterfowl regulated access areas that the boundary is actually explicitly laid out in WAC. These have specifics of things like limited blinds, parking access, days of the week that are allowed, specific to these boundaries solidified in WAC. This proposal helps formalize these specific descriptions, and this includes 10 wildlife area units, part of 6 wildlife areas in 4 different regions that for the most part are already currently operated like this, but the boundary is not caught in description, nor is the restriction, the number of days or the parking lot limitations, are those explicit. And so one example that is very current and goes on every year is over in Grant County with the Winchester regulated access area, the North Potholes regulated access area, and the Frenchman regulated access area. In all these cases, the red that you're seeing on that map is a game reserve described in WAC. But the boundary, while it's been sort of acknowledged, there is nothing that actually captures that. So In this case, the only one that's current is that Lynch Cove Union River because of management agreements with a basically a private land in holding to minimize the number of blinds that can really be allowed out there to, but still providing that hunting opportunity. So these are the 10 that would be included or are included in that proposed list. This went out to the public comment, 1,209 comments during this most recent round, 35% agreed, 5% disagreed, and there were 60% that were neutral. The common themes in the 8 written comments was, again, concern over change. The 10 that we identified, these boundaries and pre-existing descriptions run by the wildlife area managers are current with those management considerations that they find themselves in right now. And again, the need for better maps, the ask from users to be able to actually understand these boundaries that and restrictions that we put out there and how to interact appropriately with those. And that is what I have for that one.
Any questions for Kyle? Okay, Nikki, do we have anyone standing by?
I have 2 folks. We'll now take public comment from registered attendees. As a reminder, everyone gets 2 minutes. I'm going to roll with Martha first, Martha Hall, followed by Jonathan Talmadge. Go ahead, Martha.
I'm going to pass on this one.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Okay, Jonathan Talmadge, go ahead and unmute yourself. You should be good to go. I don't know where he went.
Must not be there.
His name just disappeared.
Okay. Okay. All right, Kyle, thank you very much for the presentations. I don't see any hands up, so we can move on.